Well, each of those ideas, each of those concepts, each of those realities have consequences. If we are just the product of time, chance, space, then what's the point? And why do I struggle with meaning? Because if it just happened, then there's no meaning. So every consequence, every idea has consequences. So what we want to talk about for the next couple of minutes is developing a biblical and a Christian worldview as we look at to answer those four questions. So if you look at, I don't know if anybody else wants to make an introductory remark. Okay, so let's start with origin. And everybody knows, you know, Genesis 1:1, right? Let's say it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Right? We know John 1, right? In John 1, someone tell me what John 1 tells us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then what? The same was in the beginning with God. There we go. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. The biblical worldview starts with a Creator God, and that Creator God is identified in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is revealed. So it's not that it's God who is abstract out there, you never see Him. It is the God who manifested Himself. 1 Timothy tells us, God was manifest in flesh. Christ who came, the Bible tells us, He, through Him, all things were made. And that becomes a very critical understanding. Let's follow through. Let's just look at how ideas have consequences. Without understanding that it is the Creator God who makes all things and everything has their being through Him and by Him, I then have a right way to understand and how to see everything that's been made. If I don't have that, then I make the wrong assumption and make the wrong conclusion. So, for example, everything is natural, and everything is natural and, you know, survival of the most, then there's no reason to restrain me from simply going after whatever I want and doing whatever I want, because I don't realize that there is a design and a purpose by a Creator. And that's so important. It helps me understand myself. When I look in the mirror, and we suffer from all kinds of, you know, situations that we read about where, you know, they have, you know, discussions about image and all this kind of stuff, and you look in the mirror. What does the biblical truth of understanding the origin that we are created by God? I can look in the mirror and I can answer, because the Bible tells me in Psalms 138, I think it is, that I have been fearfully, 139, fearfully and wonderfully made. I look in the mirror and I look to heaven and I say, Lord, You made me thus, and so I'm content. I am happy because You have made me so. That is the consequence of what this truth brings to light. When I don't have that kind of biblical centering on the very beginnings, the very origin about who I am, I will get off the rails and I get down some rabbit trail and get lost.
So I wonder if we could use that to just say then, do we have some further scriptures that show us this? Mark has told us that when we recognize God as the Creator, it affects us. What if we don't recognize God as the Creator? Maybe we could just have some scriptures that you could contribute, because we would also like to hear your voices in that. What scriptures can we add to this conversation that when we don't recognize God as the Creator, what are the results? The rest of the microphones are for you.
I'll say the consequence would be a substitution, really. You know, we have a substitution for God in the sake of more, for the sake of morality. Therefore I can do my own thing. As far as his lordship and his headship is concerned, if, you know, God didn't exist, then obviously, you know, the things concerning that are thrown out to completely, and a lot of other facets of, you know, how we perceive things. Satan has looked for a substitution, and obviously it's because he doesn't want God to get the glory and honor.
Can we add some scriptures to that? Do you have one, Stephen, or someone else to add a scripture to that thought?
I think Romans chapter 1 is a picture of what you were, what you're getting at there, Steve. In Romans chapter 1, it says in verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness," or they hold down the truth. And then it goes on to say, "Because what may be known of God is manifested to them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world," and that's origin, "his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and in their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and to change the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like corruptible man, and the birds, and the four-footed animals, and the creeping things. And therefore God also gave them up to their uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who blessed God forever. For this reason, God gave them up to the vile passions, for even their women exchanged their natural use for what is against nature. And likewise, the men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned in their lust for one another, for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving to themselves the penalty of the error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to debased minds to do so those things which are not fit, being filled with unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceitful mind, and they are whisperers," and then the list goes on. We'll stop there, but maybe there's some thoughts out of that. What do we learn from that list, all those verses? What's being taught there by Paul through the Spirit of God? Mm-hmm. For those of you that have not been here, this is more of a give and take. We give, you take, you give, we take. So we want to share. So when we ask a question, we really are looking for you to help us out with an answer. So what do we learn from those verses? Connecting it to origin, as Mark led us out.